This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, Raise Your Game, and Dr. Yvonne Sam from 5 Echo here. You know, we've just started our Calm Intelligence series last week. Calm meaning, because she loves acronyms, a C for contrast, A for align, L for less, and M for mindful. So last week we talked about contrast, and this contrast is basically how, you know, whatever state we're in, to have this, have a more compelling desired future. And we all want to, right? I mean, that's just life. You know, the next 5 years has got to be better. Life has got to be better, you know, and in small things as well. And so that was contrast. And the second letter in calm is A, which is align. And so what is this align? What does it mean here?
Well, if you remember last week, we were saying, imagining your new business or business 5 years from now or your life 5 years from now is the contrast. Do we take our people with us? So aligning is really aligning, first of all, the team that wants to follow you. Now, it can be as simply your team, which is within your family, because a lot of times we know teenagers love to go off and do their own thing. So, and you have to give them the freedom. Same with your creative team. If they only listen to you of your ideas of moving forward from A, from status quo to this compelling future, if you give them the autonomy of saying, that is where we want to go, we just need to align ourselves. So I don't care how we get there, come up with some ideas that we can work with. So that's aligning your stakeholders. Now, the other thing that we also look at aligning is when we want to go to that compelling future ourselves as a leader, we look at our team, our current team, or the current environment that we're in. Sometimes we don't have all the resources, right? Actually, in the world, there isn't a lack, but it tends to be concentrated in somewhere. So for instance, if you kind of looked at Disney as far back as when he was looking at designing Mickey Mouse, there was no such thing as talkies in movies. So it was silent movies. And he was trying to sell the banks that there was this talking, singing mouse. And even looking at him, it's like, good God, what is this? What is this guy on? But that was his vision, that one day he will have characters that sing and dance in the cinema. Right. And people thought it was crazy. And of course, at that time, there was no way they could line up, say, the film projector that Edison had made, plus the gramophone, which is also Edison's, you know, invention, together. So he actually said, we haven't got that yet. So it's going to put my project on hold. But you know what? I can make the movie and I can now link up and sync it up. So he actually had two things playing, which then created that mouse singing on two things until he invented something. So what I'm saying, and he brought a lot of people together to do that, because he brought new creativity into his so-called studio. And it started out by being in his house. So to me, is it all good ideas start with aligning resources. So the next thing we need to align is, what are the aptitudes of our people? So if we don't have the right people, we can either hire, which again, with limited budget, you say, that's not in the quarterly budget. Yeah. We need this, you know, great IT designer, or we need this fantastic marketing guru. So what we do is we partner to our vulnerabilities. So one of the things when I talk about alignment, I get a lot of leaders to do what we call a leadership balance sheet. On one side, we say, look at you and your team's assets. And assets come on that side, like your strengths in the business. What key unique things do you bring to the marketplace? What life experiences or business experiences does your team come with that will take you to that compelling vision? And some of them can be, I guess, developed because they have the skill outside of work, but they haven't brought it in. Then you've got values and beliefs. How often we are trapped with things that we believe aren't true, like, oh, I'm too old to learn IT, you know. But there are some people say, real get up and go attitude. The real can-do people say, what? We're going there? We haven't got the resources yet. I'm in. We'll find a way. Right. So we'll gather those people with those values and beliefs. But on the other side, we'll look at our team. On the other side of the balance sheet, what I call the vulnerabilities, not liabilities, because I don't consider it a liability. I'm just looking at what I don't have based on the goal or the vision I'm trying to get to. And then when I look at that list again, what are my allowable weaknesses? I mean, so maybe in this, we don't have the budget for it. Okay, that's a weakness. That's true. What are the life experiences and our history that's held us back? Like, for instance, we've always been a process-driven bank, let's say. Mm. How can I get creative like Google? So that's my past history that's holding me back. Then I look at our own beliefs and values in the company. Up until now, we're all about compliance. We're all about, you know, ticking the box. What is it that we need to change in our beliefs that will help us go to the next place? So if you look at that balance sheet, we need to align and be really true to see where we're vulnerable. And over that five-year period, can some of this team be redeployed
right
there? Or can we partner to another company, another region, mergers and acquisitions, to actually partner with maybe even a competitor to form a third entity where we can all go together? The pie is big enough for all
right.
of us.
Very interesting. Partner to our
vulnerabilities,
right? And you're talking about, so this is the aptitude part, aligning attitude to hyperdrive your leadership, right? Mm-hmm. So in terms of aptitude, when do you assess this? Is this a constant thing that you can, you know, or is it when, okay, I've got set this vision and then you move that forward? Or is that a constant thing where you test on the aptitude, where you're always like, okay, we need resources here, right? And of course, resources doesn't have to be financial resources in this case.
Correct. I love metaphors. So I remember one of my mentors once said, dig some wells before you need to draw water. Mm. In fact, dig more wells before you can draw water. So what he meant was a networking sense. So before you even need to have that relationship, don't make enemies. Mm. You know, you never know that you might need them, but always put the emotional bank account by putting more water into their well. So it's not even just digging well to draw water, but empty some of your water in there to build your bank account. So we're looking at, of course, external connections. But internally within your team, how many people hired someone and then pigeonholed someone into that?
Right.
So if they saw that, hey, Frida, you're not only great at, you know, writing scripts, but you're great vocally in front in meetings. Let's put you to be a broadcast person instead of a writer, right? And you say, oh, never done it before. How can I do it?
Yeah.
I'm scared. And then you might give them opportunities and see how they blossom. And you're already building that well, because who knows, you might need some of these people to step up as your vision changes.
Right.
So to me, aligning the aptitude and the attitude, again, if some people do not have the attitude for it and cannot be groomed, well, sometimes you might also, as I call it, have a friendly exit strategy. Mm. Well, you're not happy where we're growing, but you're an amazing person. So can we help you find another job in our network, because you've dug wells outside as well?
Yeah.
So now you've not only aligned your aptitudes and attitudes within your company, but imagine how people start saying, like, I train my people and they leave. Actually, if you can't train them, help them leave to somewhere where they might be happier, or train them up anyway, because they might want to go somewhere else. But I'll tell you another story. I think I was speaking to, I think it was Rajiv from Eclif, and he had a great story about the fact when he got groomed to a level of COO, and the CEO wasn't going to retire, and it was something like Procter & Gamble or Coca-Cola, one of these amazing Fortune 500 companies. And the CEO was very honest with Rajiv. He said, you're very talented. You are CEO material. But I'm here for the long haul, so I'm not going for a while. So I'd hate to curb your growth. So let me introduce you to one of our channel suppliers. And I know there's room for you to be in the CEO, but I'll groom you first. Can you imagine this? I'm going to spend time so that you go to another company. And what ended up happening, Rajiv tells me this story, and it's true. He said, I was so grateful to the CEO that when I went to the channel partner or the supplier, I always brought business back.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, as a parent, you give the best to your children so that they get the best education, so they leave home, so they don't stay with you, right? It's a bit like that. And I think in this world, we are grasping for straws, thinking it's scarce, you know, everybody's competitive. We forget about the competitive edge of becoming your friendly
right.
stakeholder.
And it's about expanding your network as well. Now, this is the aptitude part, of course. The other thing is the attitude part, which we have to align. We'll discuss that in just a moment. Dr. Yvonne Sam from 5 Echo in our Calm Intelligence series. Stay tuned to Raise the Game, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. In case you've just joined us, of course, this is Raise the Game. Dr. Yvonne Sam from 5 Echo in our Calm Intelligence series. Calm is not just calm. Calm means contrast, align, less and mindful. Last week, we talked about contrast, and this week we're talking about A, which is align. And in this case, it's aligning aptitude and attitude to hyperdrive your leadership. So we discussed a little bit about aptitude, right? So knowing how to, find the right resources, helping people grow, sometimes outside the office, outside, the organization. But there's the other thing, right? Aptitude is workable. It's attitude. How do you align with attitude?
You know, this is probably the biggest question that everybody's asked. And I think there is more and more work done around the mindset, the mindsetting of your people. Again, you can't make a horse drink water unless it's thirsty. So you can drag this horse to water and says, drink up, we're on this long journey, please. Mm. And it doesn't, so it dies on the way, right?
You put salt in its mouth.
That's right.
What you do.
Well, actually, I'm a bit cheeky. I actually give it beer nuts. Come on, it loves to eat. You know, just put a bit of salt in the beer nuts. Absolutely, you're right. So, and then it'll want to drink.
Yeah.
So how do you salt your people? And I don't mean it like that. Again, sometimes you've got to create a bit of discomfort.
Yeah.
And if the in a way, you'll see the people who would rise to the challenge. And again, be open about it. Say, this is not easy. I don't even have to create salty environment now,
yeah,
because VUCA is here to stay. Naturally, our environment are made for change. So how, just start noticing the people with attitudes and give them encouragement. So a lot of times it's good to sit back and look and all that, but a lot of times we look for the dissonance of when people aren't performing. Performance management is when we look at what they aren't doing well and telling them to improve. How about when they're doing well and giving them celebrations? So that's one way of encouraging attitude. For those that don't, you know, I think it's also great to give them feedback to say the only reason why you're not progressing is you don't have the right, you've got all the skills. You've got all the experience. You probably thrive well in many, many environments. But where we're going, the contrast frame, where we're going, we need to have people whom we can depend on that will take us there. And right now, your attitude is not what will be on this ship. And your attitude could be very well suited for somewhere else. So I think giving that, and too often, I think as managers, we are not comfortable and we avoid conflict in giving bad news to people. And I think one of the things my father said, because he's done quite a few friendly exit interviews to some of his staff, and the amazing thing that my father has an ability to do is he can sit down with someone and they never know when they're coming into his office, whether it's a celebration or an exit.
It's always a celebration. A celebration you leave, a celebration that you stay.
Exactly, right? But everybody that walks out of his office has a smile on their face. And people say, Jerry, how do you do that?
Yeah.
And what he says is that when I sit down with that person, I really tell them as honestly as I can what is not working for them here. And we are sad that it's not working for them here. So in order for you to thrive, we're going to help you out of this business. So tell us what you want, what you're good at, and we will match you up as best as we can. You go and look. We'll give you time off to go and look for it. But in 3 months or 1 month or whatever it is, the time period is, we will help you exit because you are not blossoming here. You are not made for this temperament. Your temperament is not made for this climate here. And people are so grateful, say, thanks, Jerry. And a lot of times, I think people still refer back to the architectural firm that they came from because they realize that Jerry was right. And this is what I'm saying. So attitude is not about making everyone fit the round hole, not the peg, the square peg in the round hole. It's finding the right pegs, pushing them through and really, you know, being the wind beneath their wings. But the ones that aren't, help them along because they don't fit here, but they'll fit somewhere else.
Right. Well, I made my own exit from the other place, right? And it was a fantastic place to a certain point, and then I felt that I just stopped growing, right? And I needed to move on to do other things. It doesn't mean that the other company wasn't great, right? But it was just that I was just moving on to something else. And sometimes you probably need someone to tell you that, but it just feels like as if it's a bad thing, but it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Correct, right? Correct. And therefore, like I said, if you are looking at the concept of digging more wells before you need to draw water, your team is also a well that you can draw water. Like the case in point with Rajiv having been moved away because there was no room for him to be CEO. But right. Now he talks about that and encourages people he mentors to not stifle someone's career just because there's no room in your business.
Right.
So that's digging wells.
Right. And I think the best thing you can do is do help that person to find a place, whether it's internally or externally. And people are always grateful for that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like I said, you know, in hindsight, you look back, wow, that was probably the best decision ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So next week, we're going to the L, which is less, the L in calm. I look forward to our chat next week. Dr. Yvonne Sam from 5Echo, you've been listening to Raise Your Game in our Calm Intelligence series, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.